Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your place then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As the children of God, we are to know the importance of prayer. And speaking personally, I know that without prayer, I can do nothing. And of course, without the Lord, I can do nothing. But prayer is so important in our lives as saved people. And once again, I personally know I need to pray more and get closer to my Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Right now, I'd like for us to look into what is known as the model prayer. Now, some people call this the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But actually, this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer that he is teaching his disciples to pray. And also, when we think of the Lord's Prayer, it's actually found in John chapter 17. When I say that the Lord gave this to his disciples to pray, actually, he gave this model prayer to help them to understand what and how they should pray. And I'd like for us to look right now into the model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 13 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Well, we are not to use this as what some call the Lord's Prayer. And it's also found in Luke chapter 11. We're not to use this as a prescription. It's not to be used always as a form of prayer, but rather it should be followed as to how we are to express our needs, our reverence, and our dependence upon God. Now, the model prayer expresses how we should be praying and to whom we should be praying to. Well, notice some of the things that I've seen in this model prayer. I see some instructions for praying here. In verse 9, we see prayer is to include worship. The verse says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, hallowed means reverence, to worship. And in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 19 says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." Well, the word perish, why perish? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, who is verse 12 of Acts chapter 4 speaking of? There is none other name. What name? Who's this speaking of? In John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we find out by continuing our reading in John chapter 1, we go to verse 14 and we see who the Word is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, of course, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. Well, I see also in this model prayer that prayer to God is personal. The verse says in verse 9, "Our Father." Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So, prayer is personal. He's our Father. That is, of course, if we are the children of God. And the way a person becomes a child of God is to do what Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we realize that a person must come to a saving knowledge before that person can say, "Our Father," in other words, my personal Father in heaven, a person must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to claim God in heaven as his or her Father. Well, I see something else in verse 9. Prayer is to include other Christians. Notice again, our Father. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Once again, we become righteous once we've trusted the righteous one, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. But the point I'd like for you to see here is that we are to pray for other Christians. As children of God, we are to pray for one another. Paul the Apostle knew the importance of praying for other believers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you," Paul says, "that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." Paul goes on to say in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You see, Paul, he also knew the importance of having other believers praying for him as well. Not only did he pray for other believers, but he knew the importance of having believers pray for him. And you read about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, where he says, "Brethren, pray for us." It's so important that we understand that prayer to our Heavenly Father is important, and prayer for each other is important. Well, notice something else about this model prayer we see in verse 10. Prayer is to include submission. It says there, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we are actually submitting to God's will, and we are praying with expectation. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are in essence, we're saying, "It's all up to you, Father." James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submission to God's will can be seen when men, women, boys, and girls do as God instructs in his word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And when children do as parents ask, then they are submitting to God's will. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And we also see that when husbands and fathers do as God instructs, then they too are in submission to God's will. We are to submit to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." When people in a Bible-believing local church to listen to God and obey His voice in doing what He says to do concerning His under-shepherd, the pastor, then those people are obeying God's will. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." This is speaking of pastors. They're watching for our souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We are to submit to God's will. I also see something in verse 11. It says that prayer is to include petition. "Give us this day our daily bread." We'll notice that this is the first time in our prayer that we are asking for something. And just as we pray for our daily physical food for nutrition, we should pray for our daily spiritual nutrition that comes from God. We can ask for spiritual food from heaven so we can grow stronger and stronger spiritually for the Lord. Now, the spiritual food, the bread from heaven, of course, is Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, it says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now, once again, Jesus is speaking, first of all, of physical food, the manna that came down. These people said that Moses gave it to them, but Christ said, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but notice, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Not only did He give the manna, the food, the physical food to these Israelites, as these people as they marched through the wilderness, He gave them the true bread, Jesus Christ. It says in verse 33 of John chapter 6, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." John chapter 4 and verse 41 says, "And many more believe because of His own word." Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And the bread, of course, that the unsaved person needs to seek is the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. And once again, the bread that we as saved people need and we are to look for and we're to do and we're to listen to, it comes from heaven, and that is the word of God. Now notice verse 12. John chapter 6, prayer is to include confession, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to forgive and to forget. Cast behind us what God has cast behind His back. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." We are to forgive others for any wrongs they have done to us or what we perceive to be a wrong done to us. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22 says this, "Then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." You see, just as Christ has forgiven us over and over again, we are to forgive as many times as we are wronged. When someone does us wrong, forget about it. We should never lose sleep over someone else's sin of doing us wrong. We should never have the attitude of retaliation. Remember Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Something else, verse 13 of Matthew 6, prayer is to include dependence. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We are saved. We've depended on Christ through the shedding of His blood to save us, and we're kept saved by the blood of Christ. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.